Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The Survivor Specialists are back. And for the first time in podcast history, I'm going to be doing exit interviews with the final five of a season. And I'm going to be starting it off with runner up Eva. Got two votes at the final tribal council, very nearly pulled off the win. And I'm going to be talking about where those two votes came from, right? All season long, it's been about how Eva is all about the boys, her and Joe, their relationship. And what two votes does she get? Star and Mary. Two women. And I want to know what those relationships were like for Eva and how she was able to get their votes. And if there's anybody else's vote that she thinks she could have gotten, has she played that final tribal council differently? We'll obviously dive into her relationship with Joe and also just what she wasn't able to do with the advantages that she got. She got so many of them, but ultimately never used them. And could that have impacted how the jury viewed her at the end? Before we dive into this interview with Eva, though, I just want to let you all know we will be having Joe after this. And then Mitch, Camilla, Kyle. So we'll have all five of them. And of course, next Wednesday night, we are going to be talking about the Survivor 50 cast. Our Survivor 50 cast reaction will be coming out late Wednesday night Eastern time. And we will be diving in, talking about all of the players who are returning and who we're most excited to see. It'll be starting a long offseason of Survivor 50 content. We have so much planned for you, and I can't wait to dive into all of it. I hope you all loved our Survivor 48 coverage. If you love this, like this video, subscribe to the channel. And get ready for a full day of exit interviews. Here's my interview with Eva. All right, I'm here with Eva, the runner-up of Survivor 48. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm ready to go.
I'm so excited to talk about this. And I want to start immediately with who voted for you at the end. Because all season long, we heard the story of, I want to play with the boys. I love being with the guys. That's who my allies are. Star and Mary vote for you. What was your relationship like with them that got you their votes?
Yeah, the edit really just did me dirty on girls. You know, like I play men's hockey. Yes, my closest friends, closest allies in this game are men, but I have girlfriends too. Like, come on. And Mary, I will say first and foremost, Mary was one of my closest friends out there from that new Loggy tribe. And we connected so quick, and they showed me and David connecting instead of me and Mary, but Mary and I were very tight. And that's why I had to do the little breakup with Mary on the log there after voting David out, was because we were very close friends. So that was a vote that I was really hoping I could win over, because she is amazing. And I'm so glad that she understands me and that she valued my game. So that was really cool. Star, on the other hand, we had a very up and down game, right? Star and I were at odds from the start, because when we get to Loggy, Star is immediately hunting for idols. I am gathering every piece of bamboo in the entire forest, and she is idol hunting, and I'm doing all this work, and I'm like, she doesn't care about the tribe. She just wants this and that. Like, I was frustrated, and then she had her problems with me because she didn't understand my directness, and that's part of my autism. I was not aware of being delicate in this situation, that I was like, oh, well, Star can't swim. She should sit out of the challenge. And Star took that as that I was being very rude to her. And I didn't mean that. So that was, we were definitely down. We were at each other's necks. And then when she finds out that I have autism, she understands me better. We have this connection, which is amazing. She gives me this idol and we work together for part of this game. And I did not bring her into my strong person alliance. I kept this more undercover and I was like, Star, like, I'll tell you how we're voting each week. You tell me what's going on. Like, we checked in with each other and none of that was shown. But then where does this flip? How are we all of a sudden not friends? It's because she started lying to me, and I felt Star was someone who connected with me on my autism, and she recognized these things. She knew a decent bit about autism and my inability to recognize lies. And so when Star starts bringing these lies to me, she was doing this to everybody, right? Like this is her game. She's spreading misinformation, doing stuff, but she brought it to me, and I took it personal. And I felt that Star was doing this to come at me. And I'm a very black and white thinker, so I was like, "You're with me or you're against me." Star was now against me, and so I was like, I want Star out of this game. And additionally, with that, she went to everybody else on the island. This was in a deleted scene. She went to everybody and asked, "Who's your final three?" Like, went to everyone. She did not come to me, and everyone was joking about it. I was like, "Why didn't Star come to me?" Star didn't care about my future in the game either. She did not want to know what I wanted. She was lying to me. She didn't know what want to know what I would thought were was the future. So I was like, "Star is not with me. She is now against me." So I had to get her out. But the thing was, we respected each other, and she respected me enough to see my game and still vote for me. So Star, she is much more intelligent than anyone gives her credit for out there, and I think I'm was one of those few people that recognized that during the game. And so she that I Star is amazing, and I'm so grateful that she voted for me as well.
I love that. And I want to talk about this because so much of your relationship with Joe was what was highlighted. And you just said they decided to show you with David. But Mary, it does blow my mind a little bit that you're saying that. And so I guess what I want to ask is what were you trying to do to work more with Mary? Was there ever a plan to try to get her maybe to Final Four or Final Three? Or was it always this is as far as she can go?
So here's what happened with Mary, and this is once again, I think this was actually an excluded question from the final tribal was what was what the, it was like what was a move you wish you'd made or one of your like worst moves, and I had said shutting the door on Mary was one of my worst moves in this game because I saw an end for me. I saw that this is my path to the end. I have these people that I trust, Kyle and Joe. I had said very early that that was my final three. Shaheen was our four. I created this core group of four, and Mary was not part of that. Mary, I grouped her with David. And so when we voted David out, I break up with Mary, and I'm like, I won't play the idol for you. I'm not like with you. I still like love and respect you, but like I can't work with you in this game because I didn't see this, oh, you can keep the door open. There's gray area. And that's something that Kyle did very, very well in this game was not shutting doors, making people feel like they're part of this. And that's something that I think I struggle with because of my very black and white thinking, and that could have won me more votes if I'd kept doors open with people. But I shut this door on Mary. I shut that relationship down, and then Mary was now isolated, and I didn't take her further in the game. And that's something that I think that I don't regret how I did. I don't regret who I went with, but I do regret that I shut that down so quick because Mary is amazing, and I could have done lots of things with her too.
So let's talk about your advantages. You had so many of them, but you never really got to play any of them. I thought it was pretty cool when you pulled it out at Final Tribal Council and said, "Look what I have." But was there ever a part of you that was trying to figure out a way to play them successfully so that you could maybe get more jury votes? Or did you feel like you were going to win anyway and you felt like you could beat anybody?
So here's the thing with the advantages. People think about using these advantages to secure their safety. I was using my advantages to prevent others from having them. I had this idol for the entire game, and everybody knew that I held it. But the thing with that is that everybody likes knowing where an idol is. They like knowing it is in the hands of the most predictable player, right? I was very straightforward. I set that out. Predictability is good for me. People at the top like predictable. People at the bottom benefit from chaos. And so me not playing this idol secured that it was set with someone who everybody knew where it was. So it wasn't flushed either. And if it went back in the game, somebody else random would get it and shake things up. So it was very good. I just held on to it. It was a very, very unique way to keep this idol and make sure there was no more idols in the game. The other advantage is safety without power, that I used as more of a tool to create this core alliance of four, that once I got it, I had decided at this point I did not want to work with David and Mary anymore. Like, that was not who I was going to go further in the game with. So I used it as a token to be like, guys, like Shaheen, Kyle, Joe, I am sharing this with you because you are who I want my four to be. We're going in forward in this game as a group. And then I did not play it because me making sure that my group, my team was safe was more important than making sure I lived another day because I do not live further without my team. And so when it was about to expire at that final seven, I could have played it. Yeah, just to be like, oh, look, I used this. That's so cool. But if I left that tribal, then it becomes a 3-3 because I could trust where Kyle, Shaheen, and Joe were voting. The other three, those three could bind up together and it could be a tie and something funky could happen and my allies could go home. So I'm like, no. Me doing something flashy is not, that's not what's going to win me this game. It's me getting to the end with these people who I trust and playing for them as well as myself. And my team got to the end. I got there with Kyle and Joe. My team got there. My team won. I didn't win.
So let's talk about now Joe a little bit, right? So on day one, you come in and you go to Joe right away and you said, I have a feeling about him. This is who I need. But I guess my question to you is, Joe is Superman. But if you get to this point where you don't have somebody who reacts in that way, right? Did you have a plan or any concerns coming into the game of what if I can't find somebody who is just going to be this perfect as Joe is?
Joe is extremely perfect, but the thing is, in my real life, I go through these things and oftentimes I go through them alone. I wanted to set myself up with the best support structure that I could have, and I had that out there and I was very lucky, but that does not mean that I have to have someone there to do this for me, to make sure that I can come down. This, it speeds up the process. It helps me get grounded. But the thing is, I have to battle in my own head, and I can do that. I have strategies that I've used for years. Survivor made it harder to use those strategies because of the depletion we're feeling out there. Just the fact that all of your supports, there's no break from the game. There's no chance. One of my strategies that I use is getting to reset. Is that like in hockey, sometimes like I'm an athlete, I'm used to these high pressure situations, but if I mess up and I get stuck in this cycle in my head, get fixated, I get off the ice. It's you take 45 to a minute shifts and then you get a minute rest. And in that minute rest, I'm very good at resetting my brain. Survivor does not give you the opportunity to have that rest and reset. And so I was more vulnerable out there to this happening to me. But if Joe had been voted out, if Joe didn't exist in this game, I know that I would have battled through. I believe in myself. I know what I'm capable of. It just would have been a little harder and it would have been a lot more dramatic. But the thing is, having Joe there helps bring me down, helps keep it together. And I love him so much, but yes, I can do it alone too.
Gotcha. And so obviously you had the moment in the pre-merge, but then when we get to this fire making situation, the day that you find out you're going to make fire, you really, I mean, you have an episode and you're going through it and Joe comes over and he says, "Let me do this for you." And you say, "No, I need to do this for myself." Why was that so important for you?
So actually, what's really interesting about this episode, like the autism episode I experienced here, is that it was greatly downplayed in the episode, in the finale. This was much more extreme than what we experienced in episode five. When Kyle and Joe hear me screaming in the woods, they do not show up. But this is when I am stimming uncontrollably. I am scratching myself. I am shaking. I have no control over my body. I am fighting in my head so much. And this is not that because I can't build a fire. It is because these days, this build up of all this pressure, this intensity that I keep failing and failing. And this is overcome, like this has taken me over. And Joe comes in the edit, it seems like I immediately calm down once he's there. But no, I was still battling for quite a while to come down to this, to be able to have this conversation with him. And so me being at the lowest low, I knew that I was like, I need to do this for myself. I need to do this to prove to myself that I can, that I'm stronger than the challenges that I face. And so Joe, he begged me to let him do it because Joe is a superhero. He wants to save the day. And I said, no. Kyle came. Kyle brought me a little like crab that he found on the ground because he was like, here's my offering. I love you. I care about you. Like, can I please do this for you? I said, no, Kyle, you put me in this. You cannot take me out. I am doing it. And that they offered me so much support, and I will take their support, but I will not let them take my place.
I love that. I love that. And so what was your biggest takeaway from the game overall then? Like as you're leaving, yes, you were second, and I'm sure you're a little disappointed that you didn't pull out the win, but what's your biggest takeaway?
I think my takeaway from my own personal like experience is how strong I am and what I can persevere through and how true I am to myself. That out there, I played fully as me, that I was this loyal person, that I am this driven, intense person, and that I made friendships, these bonds, that Kyle and Joe are two of my closest friends, that Camilla, who I didn't have any strategic relationship with, I still am so close to them. That final four, that we are the two strongest duos, but we mix and we intertwine and we have this amazing relationship between the four of us that is so unique and special and impacted me greatly because each of them taught me about myself and how to be a better me. So I learned so much from having this amazing community and that I now know that, and I was the youngest on the season. And so I'm still learning about myself. And I think if I ever came back on Survivor, I would know myself better and be able to perform better. But I learned so much from these people who are older and have been through so much and have shown me that, hey, like I can be like them in so many ways. And I'm so proud of the experience that I had and what I did and what I've learned.
Yeah, and so I guess that'll be my last question here then. Like going out and doing something like this so young. For other people who are around your age, who maybe have autism as well, what's your message to them on that?
My message to anyone who has autism is that it is not something wrong with you, that it is part of who you are. It is something special and unique. And yes, it gives you challenges that are different than other people, but it also gives you strengths, and that it is never a roadblock to success. That no matter where you fall on the spectrum, because everyone's experience is different, that you can live a full, happy life and have success in the things that you care about and that is important to you. And I persevered through so much, and I'm proud to do that, and that my struggles do not mean I'm weak. My struggles show that I am strong, and it is the same for anyone else that is battling through different things that their autism brings them.
That's awesome. Eva, you're an inspiration, truly. Thank you so much for doing this with me. I really appreciate it. I'm so great. I'm so glad we got to talk. And
Yeah.
I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.